You're listening to a
Flawless Noises
Media Network production.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ratchet Ramblings Podcast, presented to you by Flawless Noises Media. I am one of your hosts. I am Jeremy. I ain't got no AKA. Yes, I do. AKA, bitch, my feet hurt. And I'm joined by my friends and my co-hosts.
What's up, everybody? It's Candace, not so newly at BC on all social media. My AKA is Rocky's fingers are stickier than a toddler with a sucker. All he do is steal from people.
That's it.
Okay. The nigga is a thief. Grand Theft Rocco.
All right.
Hey, Adrian. We're still in hands.
Because I'm not fooling with you.
Hey, y'all.
Rocco, no swiping. Like, what it... Okay. We don't have much, you know, in terms of, you know, Ratchet Mess of the Week. What we will say is we know that the Black Ink brand is never coming back because Caesar beat a puppy. Never mind that he beat a child first, but he went on to beat a puppy and now everybody check got pulled. However, Adrian brought to my attention and I brought to hers that four has finally stepped into his golden era and started doing porn. Because Four been sending pictures of his dick and his booty hole for years now. And we have discussed it. I wish I could remember what episode it was on when me and Curtis discussed it. But he been letting the world know that little, what do you call it, Adrian? That little chocolate starfish? He been setting that chocolate starfish out forever. He have been letting the world see that booty hole for a long time. But also, he has been letting the world know that trans women are women and they get love from him as well. And he's attracted to women. Women. And as Jeremy said in our group chat, while they are still generally terrible people on these shows, a few of them have always had seemingly decent politics, and Four has been one of those people when it comes to the community and being an ally. And so, and he don't give a fuck how nobody feel about it. He don't. And now I'm here for it.
Well, I'm glad he stepped into his true calling, the slinging the rod and the hole, because Lord knows it wasn't rapping.
It was not rapping. It's tapping. Nah. Cervixes and booty holes and clits and everything. It's tapping. With that dick, it is not rapping. You cannot rap, and it's not tattooing. That's the wrong T. Tapping, not tattooing. Tapping,
he can tattoo
not
something,
rapping.
But that's just the wrong instrument.
Hello. Use your mega muscle, okay? Use your fucking mega muscle, but don't you dare go. The only studio I want to see you in is where they used to record Booty Talk. That's
so
it.
Like random gas station.
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
I'm just making sure we are on the same boat.
Random gas stations, trap houses, and everything else. But I don't want to see you in nobody music studio. I want to see you in the studios where you are making pornography.
I'm not paying the 30 for
your OnlyFans.
Oh no, you won't get that 30.
I'll just be toxic and look at the leak videos like like a lot of motherfuckers.
Or what you put on your Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. Because I pulled up to his Twitter one day and I had to back out slowly because I did not expect to see his booty hole as soon as I went on his page. I was like, boy, that's a booty hole. Like, what?
Yeah, mine was him getting his booty hole ate with them cartoon red boots on. And I was like, I am oddly interested.
Not the Mario. Not the Mario, not the Yoshi boots.
Yes.
That motherfucker powered up for show. It might not have been a gold star, but it was a chocolate star.
I mean, so since we're not paying the 30, but for if you hear this and would like to give us a guest pad, we will accept it and we can be reached on Twitter for such accommodation.
Absolutely.
Our resident legal counsel.
Absolutely.
Now, Jeremy, I'm talking about smut and you gonna bring that.
Yeah.
Nah, see why
we just saying we want to we at the forefront, we want to view your material legally.
The forefront, so I see what you did, nigga.
if you want to give us a guest pass, we want to accept it now. I just had to get that out the way because this is on the heels of another Black trans woman being murdered. And again, trans women are women, and the level of toxicity and transphobia that it takes to take a trans woman's life because you find yourself attracted to, and society says there's something wrong with you if you're attracted to a trans woman and treated just like any other woman that you would be with if she was cisgendered or not. So kudos to you for, truly. May the tongues continue to slide upon thy booty hole. Maybe not prayers up, but tongues up, if
tongues
you will.
Tongues down.
In that hole. speaking of things being down, I just want to say that this geriatric kerfuffle between Jen and Jackie is a fucking nightmare, and it's stupid. And this is on the heels of Jen having one of the most boring hair shows I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Calling that a show, Jen.
Because you had bitches walking outside in the sun in clip-ins and swimsuits. That was not a hair show, girl. That was fucking boring. You could have just took pictures and opened an online store. I expected to see some fucking styles. I expected to see some weaves weaving.
I didn't, only Jen, because...
You are fucking boring. You are a boring snooze fest of a bitch. And you and Jelani, y'all both missing side teeth. So y'all are orthodontic matches in hell.
Yeah, I didn't expect nothing from the show, the air quote show, because Jen has always been boring. Every time she is on this show, unless she is starting mess or fighting with someone, she don't have no storyline.
None.
It was about what I expected, which was trash.
Absolutely. And I want Jackie Christie. I wish I could tighten the rings around your neck until I put you in a sleeper hold. And then freeze you cryogenically because you are so fucking dumb and stupid and old and stupid and bored and stupid. And I do not understand you lying about, why would you even want to be associated with a hair show as boring as what the fuck Jen did, talking about you helped her produce it? You can't even produce a fucking real estate license. You ain't passed that test yet.
So I'm gonna be real. And I could be wrong, but I don't give a damn, Miss Jackie. I don't even think she even doing real estate like that for real, for real. I think that's just something that the writers gave her to say she doing something for a storyline. I'm going to just keep it a book.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Because the bitch is fucking born and like, basic.
Unless I'm mistaken, and, you know, Candace, please correct me. Because Lord knows me and you keep it this a lot, because I know Adrian don't give a damn. But
Adrian does not give a fuck about basketball wives, and I respect and I can't blame her commitment to not indulging in any capacity.
I can't blame her. But correct me if I'm wrong, Candace, Jackie mentioned that real estate stuff, and they went to like one house, what, maybe one episode, and didn't mention it no more? Unless I'm tripping.
Yeah, she showed Jen like one house, and that's why her and Jen ultimately ended up getting into it, because Jen was like, yo, real estate company wanted you to show this? Like, exactly. This shit is awful.
Right. So that's why I say they mentioned that shit once, maybe twice, and we ain't seen it no more. So that's why I say I feel like Jack ain't really even doing this shit for real. And it's just something they gave her for a storyline this season.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree there as well. Definitely inclined to agree. I do not care about the rest of these ladies on this show. I'm going to be so honest. I do like Duffy. I'll say that. And I'm glad that she is actually showing that she does the work to be better and communicate better with people in her life. I still don't think she owe Brandy a motherfucking thing, because you don't get to expect loyalty from me. And when we get into it, you talking shit about me to anybody who will listen. I don't owe you shit. I don't owe you a goddamn thing. Because if you really cared about me and you valued our friendship, we would hash our shit out amongst each other. You would not be running around talking shit about me to anybody who will listen. I don't give a fuck about Brandy. Like, you require more loyalty from Duffy than your fucking husband. And that's why I don't deal with bitches like Brandy, because I'm a girl's girl. I'm inclined to give my female friends grace, because a lot of women have a bad habit of expecting perfection from their woman friends. and they will let these niggas run all over them and play in their motherfucking face. But as soon as one of their woman friends do something they don't like, they on Twitter talking shit, talking about these hoes loyal till they ain't, and all kind of weird shit. Shut the fuck up.
Sizzle like this, folks.
Just shut the fuck up. You want more from fucking Duffy than you want from your own husband. He not even willing to relocate after years of you traveling around chasing behind him as a basketball wife so that you can have the career you feel like you deserve, even though you can't cook for shit, bitch. You can't cook. And I don't want no cookbook from you, but fuck you. Poor little Angel. Cook? What? Angel, get them kids a multivitamin. Them babies is always sick. And where the fuck is Rockstar? Why are you a single parent with a partner?
He's somewhere being messy.
He probably somewhere letting Zell lick his chocolate starfish.
Okay, all right. So we all moving right. on. Allegedly.
I just feel like every time something goes on with those kids, he is never nowhere to be fucking found. And you scrambling and you know what I'm saying? Like, you have a partner who can't even care for a child. You have four children. You are the exact opposite of Akbar V. You have too many child. And he one of them. British, go to jail. Just go to jail, stay in jail. You a fucking scammer. Since this has been airing, she has been hit with more charges for fraud and scammery. Yes. Mm. Yep. Because shout out to our good sis Reese Ray of Love Drought Podcast, who also just was elected as a councilman. She's in St. Louis, yeah. And British caught those charges in St. Louis. So Reese had hit me a week or two ago and was like, "Yeah, she's been hit with more charges since her original charges." Mm. May you get the gin shot tree, honestly.
You are a jail. Criminal.
You are a criminal. You are a scammer. Scamming.
Well, don't let the ankle monitor hit you with a good Lord split you.
Okay. Or maybe it should. Maybe the ankle monitor give you the four treatment. May it hit you right in the booty hole. Okay. Speaking of scamming, this Seeking Brother Husband show scammed me because I thought we were going to see polyamorous couples who really had a hold and a grasp on polyamory. I just feel like a lot of these couples are not good at polyamory. And go ahead, friend.
I will take it a step further. I don't think they're just good at being a partner, let alone being a polyamorous.
Yeah.
Because I think for the majority of these couples and these people in these relations, I think they're either stupid, cannot communicate, selfish, or a combination of all three. And that's not a good look for any type of partnership, let alone a polyamorous.
Points are made. Points have been made. It doesn't matter what type of relationship you embark on. If you are not willing to do the work to be a present and accountable and communicative partner, it will always fall apart. One of the things that I won't say struck me as odd, but it made me realize that even though these couples present as polyamorous, they still have a lot of unlearning to do. It's like with Kenya and is the nigga named Tiger? Liger?
Yeah, Tiger and Carl.
Roy? Okay, Tiger.
Not Liger Zero.
Kenya and Tiger mainly is committed to having a wedding ceremony, though he and Kenya can't be legally married. And it, for me, it brought up the question of to be so heavily into non-traditional non-monogamy, y'all certainly are leaning into traditional monogamy bullshit, like weddings, right? You have a unique opportunity to link to move away from a traditional thing like a wedding and maybe do a commitment ceremony. And I think Adrian had a good point in the pregame. Then there's all of this emphasis on, well, I don't want to do it if your parents are not coming. And I don't want to do it if your parents don't approve. And the thing is, it's, again, non-traditional, non-monogamy. And y'all are older. Y'all are older persons. And so that means you have even older parents who really do not understand and will not be on the same boat as you when it comes to the lifestyle that y'all are living. And so to be like, well, I don't know if I really want to do this if your parents not going to be there. What do it fucking matter? What do it matter? If we are comfortable in what we're doing, if what we know it's right for us, I don't give a fuck what your mama think. Bald head pussy hoe. I don't care. And he ugly, so I know his mama and them ugly. Like, why do I care? That's two less ugly motherfuckers at my commitment ceremony, stinking up the pictures.
Yeah, I said this in the pregame, and I'll say it here. The thing for me is that it just lacks a lot of creativity, right? Because if you want to have like a wedding or a ceremony or whatever, I feel like that's fine. Like, again, it is kind of, you know, it's like, it's kind of weird because that is a very traditional thing and y'all are clearly non-traditional, but whatever. Okay, cool. But like, the wanting approval, which is very much tied in tradition and just not being imaginative. Like, this was a chance to like get in your bag and be like, imaginative, explorative, you know, think big, bitch. Like, you know, dress it up and make it real or whatever the fuck Future said. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it just feels like you have this opportunity to go all out and do something creative since y'all are in a creative, you know, unique situation. And yet you still want to kind of do the boring old traditional shit as if y'all in a, you know, old traditional ass, you know, situation. And that's just not it. Like, it's the lack of creativity for me that's just struck me as like very, very odd.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Can you practice non-monogamy with like, but with a traditional twist on it, I guess becomes the thing. Cause just because you want to be poly, does that mean that it takes away like those traditional things, or is just being ethically non-monogamous?
I mean, I'm not sure. Certainly at the end of the day, you can lean into whatever traditions you want to, but I think the way that you are going to really help people learn about non-traditional non-monogamy is to create new traditions and create new things that steer away from what's traditional. Because as a whole, when you think of somebody getting married, you lean heavily into monogamy. Mm-hmm. and the legal aspects of it.
Yeah, there you go.
When you get married and you have a wedding, it is also a legally binding situation as well.
Yeah.
Whereas that's not the case for non-traditional non-monogamy. One couple may be married, but any person's coming in after, if you want to have legally binding documents in terms of financials and this, that, and the third, you can do that. But legally, you can't get married again while you're already married.
Right.
So I think to really start to take the stigma off of like polyamorous lifestyles, you're going to have to lean away from traditional things, because that's where your mind is going to instantly go when you says, oh, somebody's getting married. Oh, they're having a wedding. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah. Best of luck to them. But I certainly don't care about Tiger, Slackjaw, mama and daddy coming to they wedding. And I don't think Kenya should either. And I'm going to leave it to you, Adrian, because you put it very eloquently about what Kenya wants. And what do she want?
He want to get dick down. Like, she want new dick. And when you hear her describe how Kenya likes the feeling, the new feeling of being in love. She likes that newness feeling. And so she honestly is just going to keep recreating this over and over again once that feeling gets old or goes away.
She want to keep having that new dick smell.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it sounded like to me. And to each their own. I managed to find newness in my relationship all the time, but to each their own. But if Tiger is not ready for that, because once she gets this new guy, long story short, Kenya not finna stop doing dicks. So if he's not good with
stop doing dicks. It's like crack. She is.
You smoke dicks, don't you?
You smoke dicks, don't you? She not finna put that dick pipe down.
No, she's not. And she wants new and different ways and spinning the block ways of doing it. So if Tiger is not good with that, then he just might want to pack up his 10 years and go on mosey on down the road.
Yeah, and take that nigga Vincent with him.
And take some contacts out too, but that's on
Oh
another note.
man. No, it's on this note because I cannot take no man serious wearing colored contacts. Ain't nobody gonna force me to. Decisions is made when you do shit like that.
With your lavender.
Go on with your laughing.
With your lavender eye.
Which brings me to what's her name? Elisa? Is that how we pronounce it? I ain't heard the bitch name said yet on the show. She just come in and start
I thought
talking
it was
about dick
Eliza.
too. Eliza. Okay.
It's one of them two. Which one is
Eliza.
Eliza?
That's the one with the white husband and the black boyfriend who doesn't want her to add another partner into their situation.
Oh, I know them as Vincent. Don't
Vincent.
don't give me. We're not giving her no shine in the front. Vincent and them.
Now you're
Because
saying the crackers to the back.
I got very agitated. I get agitated with how she moves. And to me, it's a little similar to Kenya in that you know that at least one partner in this equation is very uncomfortable with the idea of you adding another partner to the equation. And instead of removing them, because ultimately, if the boundaries are not respected, if the wants and needs are not on the same page, why are you trying to force somebody into it? She talking about, oh, this is just a test to see how comfortable he is seeing me talk to other people. There needn't be a test. He has said repeatedly he is not comfortable with the thought of you dating anybody outside of you, outside of him and his husband. What are you trying to accomplish? And it's giving racism because you white, bitch. It's definitely giving racist because you white. And
I
Vincent,
can
take your buck dancing ass on somewhere and get with somebody who want to do what you want to do. That lady won't dick. She got dick on her breath and dick on her brain. And she willing to
Yeah,
do anything to get some new dick on the train. Like I'm feeling like Dr. Seuss here, bitch. What are we doing?
I feel like that whole little I feel like that whole little barbecue was almost like a swingers barbecue in my head. And that might not have been true because they were talking to the one lady that was just like, I'm not with that. And I
That
think
one
she
lady
brought
was like, marriage supposed to be between man and woman, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I think love and romance should be what you want it to be consensually with people who are on the same page as you. But like you
The key
literally
word,
had
the
a
same page.
you literally had a whole cookout to make this man uncomfortable, and again, it's giving racism.
It was definitely
Because
some
he
beef up
already
the
said
middle,
he
I
was
tell you what.
uncomfortable. Like, at what point was his mind gonna change? Am I the only one that feel like that? Like, when was his mind gonna change?
It was mad passive.
I think it was aggressive aggressive. I don't think she's not, I mean,
Nothing was
she's not
passive
playing.
about it.
Not,
Adrian
no,
said,
because
"Wasn't
she's
shit passive about it."
it's not because she said her opinion. And while I can agree, it's not these women's responsibility for these men to lead the situations that they're in because they're being upfront and honest about what they want and what they're going to do. And they are leaving it, hey, I'm still going to be doing dicks. I want new dicks. I want old dicks, all the dicks.
I want
If
the
you're
slow
willing to
dicks. I
be
want your dick. I want slow
bodies,
dick. I
bodies,
want
bodies,
fast
bodies, bodies,
dick,
dicks.
body, and more dicks. And you and I want a dick, and I want another dick, and you can get some dick too. Like, why are
Yeah, so
y'all
it's just
here?
like if you're not with it, just leave. But thinking that me being here complaining or forcing weddings is gonna do something, it's not gonna do anything. They let you know what it is, so either you get with it or you get lost. Like, and I don't think Kenya or this white girl got any problem with that. Great value, Katie Holmes ain't got no problem with him leaving
Great
because she
value,
but she gonna find
Katie
somebody else.
Holmes. Great value, Katie Holmes.
I will say I agree with you, Adrian. Like that's the one thing I will say. The way they are being up front, and it's up to the men or these people whether they want to leave or not. The thing is though, while they're being up front, at the same time they also trying to convince them to get with the program, which is kind of like both of y'all being goofy. Like y'all did. If you're not with it, you need to be grown enough, a man enough to be like, I ain't with this shit. I'll catch y'all on the way. Thank y'all for the check being on this show. So that's their responsibility, right? But also, like, you can't be like, hey, I want all the dicks. You either gonna get in line or get gone, but also try to change their mind so they will get in line. It's like you gotta pick a side.
So what have they done? And maybe I missed it. What have they done to change their minds about it?
They haven't. Well, no.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if they work, because it don't seem like they are trying to do that. I mean, an argument can be made for Katie Holmes that she was trying to by inviting
I was
them
talking
to
about
that
Katie.
Thing.
I was specifically
oh,
talking
okay.
about
okay. Okay. Okay.
Well,
then, yeah, I
I
can
really,
agree.
I certainly, I don't think Tiger is at all really invested in polyamory. More so, the other husband is more of a, her actual husband is a pretty much a non-factor. Like, he seemed like he don't really want to be bothered with her ass most of the time.
And they said he
and
got another wife, so.
Yeah, so I think this is more of a Tiger issue where he has put all his eggs in one basket with Kenya, and it shows.
Yeah.
It shows. Yeah.
Like I said before, I think Vincent and Tiger thought, it's just going to be me. They're just doing this for me, not realizing that down the line they would add different partners.
Yep. No lies told. Shayna and this baby situation, nothing to do with their politics per se and how they move in a relationship. I just don't understand what made you think a man who has five children between the ages of 25 and 35 was going to want to start over and have a brand new baby. Like, was that discussed? Was that part of the plan? Is
that
something he committed to?
Forget that part. A man that don't seem to even like you that much. I'm just going to be honest. It seems very, I don't see the romance there. I don't see the romantic feelings there.
You see toleration of what you're saying.
I do. And
isn't
when you
that
hear
basically
how they,
the cheaper to keeper couple?
Yep.
That's what it sound like. That's what I got.
Like, I could tell when he was out there washing multiple Teslas and shit like that, that this is probably a financial arrangement.
I could see that. Cause how are you, I don't know, how you saying you want to have a baby and don't neither nigga you fucking want to be the baby father? Like, what discussions were you having with these men, if any at all, about the future?
Right. No, I agree.
So now you're going to find a third person to be the father of the baby? Okay. Okay.
She's going to have baby dad interview.
I mean, that seems like what it's going to be. Unless she's going to find a man she's going to run off with.
Agreed. I don't care about that other white couple who he called his mom and was trying to talk about, you know, the dynamics of being polyamorous, because I don't care about Honey Boo Boo's. I don't care about Honey Boo Boo Mama being on my TV. Get Mama June off my TV. I think you said in the pregame too, Adrian, like, I'm not sure what these couples expect from their older parents when it comes to this. This goes totally against everything they believe in.
I mean, and then especially for that white couple to know she cheated and then y'all came up with this, like, everybody smell bullshit like I smelled it. Like, that's a little odd.
Yeah, like, it's not curling over. It doesn't curl all the way over.
And I think for his mom, I think she can see you as a parent. You know your kids. You know them. And I think she knows her son
discomfort.
Is really not with it. Yeah, she know her son not really with this.
Yep, I agree. But I don't care about seeing white men suffer.
No, not really. Not particularly. Especially when you could stand up and do something better. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, y'all, we're going to hop into a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the rest of our shows, which includes the series, I guess maybe the series finale of SWV Escape, Queens of R&B, and Love and Marriage Huntsville is back. And so we will jump into that. Stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. Go get your little drinky drink. Get your little smoky smoke if you need to do that. And we'll be back after the jump. We are back after the break. We hope y'all are ready to get into the rest of the shows. I've been waiting to get to this segment because Latasha Scott and Rocky had their ass whooping in the show. They ain't had the proper hands laid on them, and it fucking shows, because these motherfuckers then sat up here and described what a kickback is. Described getting the kickback and then said they ain't never had no kickback. And so I'm gonna break this down. I don't know if everybody knows, but y'all remember at one point when Candy refused to be a part of Escape anymore, and it was Escape with the three that was backwards.
Escape.
Y'all remember that? You when they were Escape. Okay, now put a pin in that. At that time, Tiny, Tasha, and Tamika were performing as Escape 3. And Rocky was working with this promoter, and this promoter was basically saying, if you can get Candy to come back and all four girls do my shows, I will take care of you. I will grease your pockets up really nicely. That was that time period. And Candy came out and said that her and Latasha have never had a relationship outside of work and being group members. They've never been friends. But suddenly, Latasha was ringing Candy's phone down, talking about, you should come back. We need you. It's not Escape without you. You know, we was put here to be do this escape stuff together. We have a legacy to make. Just sweet talking to her and gassing her up. Candy decides to come back. The first show they were supposed to do as the OG Escape, Candy and Tiny get COVID. They don't do the show. The promoter wants the money back because Rocky didn't deliver like he said he was. Rocky and Tasha fall out with this promoter because they refuse to give him back the money for not delivering their end of the deal. All of a sudden, Rocky and Tasha start acting like this promoter is Satan himself. And then they get to arguing with the rest of the girls because the rest of the girls didn't want to stop working with this promoter because they didn't know all the shit going on behind the scenes. And in order for them to know that, Tasha and Rocky would have had to come out and tell the truth about what their real issue was with this promoter. So now we back in this final episode, and that's where all those text messages and shit come from. And that Rocky was accepting Rocky and Tasha. Don't, I'm not even gonna, like, I can't keep giving Tasha the benefit of the doubt. You know what money is coming in your fucking household. You know that, you know where extra $20,000 came from. So we here now. And these motherfuckers sitting up here acting like they don't know what kickback mean and all type of weirdo shit. Child, fuck everybody. I would beat Tasha the fuck up.
Every time I see her.
It is just kind of like marvelous. While also, girl, what the fuck? That literally every problem with this group, where either in group or outside the group, like professionally and just, amongst themselves, she is always the common denominator every single fucking time.
The common thiefinator, if you will.
The
Yeah.
kleptomator. But yeah, she always the fucking problem. It never fails.
Speaking of, I'm not meant to go to these type of concerts with these retro artists because they don't sound good when they be singing. Like, what is this? And Coco got some anger issues, huh? That bitch said, I'm ready to fight. Urgh. Like, hold on now, bitch. Please don't do this. Don't do this to nobody. Sit down, please. Now, this is a lot. Too much. But I'm glad it came together. I feel a little, I don't feel a whole lot bad for Tamika Scott. Because again, as I said in not the last episode we recorded, she getting back a lot of what she dished out because you were standing with your sister, whether she was right, wrong, or indifferent against the other girls, and it totally came back to bite you in the ass. She doesn't have any loyalty to anybody but that nigga. And you was running around talking shit about Candy and Tiny and saying all type of awful salacious shit, knowing that it wasn't true. And now here's your own sister stabbing you in the back every chance she fucking gets over a man. Like, what do you want us to do with this information, poo-poo? I don't know. Yeah, it is what it is.
Would you all like to see them try to do this with a different group that's not these two, or maybe like SWV with somebody else?
I was thinking about it, but
I like them. I'm gonna be honest, I like the mess.
I wouldn't mind seeing something with like 112 considering all the drama they be having going on. But I
I can
wonder if
see
they
it.
still bound by their contract with Diddy.
That's a good question. Because you know them Diddy contracts written in blood, literally.
Satan, if you will.
So I don't know.
Love and Marriage Huntsville is back.
Speaking of written in blood.
Segue. Let me tell you something, Carlos King.
I needed more time. I needed more time before the new season start, because this can be a lot with them. Because you know, once they start, that means all the social media stuff is going to start up all over again. I needed a little more time away. Make me miss him a little bit.
Adrian said she needed a little bit more time to breathe.
I really did.
I have a drag on my spirit for Carlos King, because you spend so much time invested in what's going on Bravo. You got all the tea when it comes to Married to Medicine, the Housewives franchise, Ultimate Girls Trip, you know, whatever the case may be, you are fully invested in everything Bravo, but you do not hold these motherfuckers' feet to the fire on Love and Marriage Huntsville. There is so much going on behind the scenes with these couples and this cast, yet you keep bringing us this stale-ass bullshit between Kiki and Tisha. Literally scoped. Tisha and Marceau's business is tied up in so much fucking litigation that they can't even bring a bulldozer to a construction site as of right now. Where is that? Do not care about Kiki and Tisha still arguing? I don't.
I mean, didn't care about it when there was arguing. Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, please correct me if I'm wrong. But didn't these niggas literally apologize to each other on an episode live? Didn't they legit apologize? So why the fuck are we still here?
Why are we still here? Formula.
Say what, Amy?
This is the formula. You spend the season on an issue. You did the issue at the reunion. Then I guess maybe they see the season and what was said during confessionals, and then they reignite the beef. This is the template for this show, which is why I needed more time. Because you're not giving me no new mess. We just talking about old mess.
Like, and this is, go ahead, Jeremy.
This is filler.
It's filler. It's fodder.
Like, nigga, maybe to your point, Ken, it's like, maybe it's a situation like it was on Salt Lake City, where it's like, for legal reasons, they can't bring up certain stuff. But nigga, find a workaround, something. Shit. Throw a dog a bone or something. Get to the root, something. Shit.
Even if you're not going to do that with they legal shit, why are y'all not active? Like, I'm not even being funny. At this point, why is Martell's baby mama not on this show?
Hello?
Why is these supposed mistresses that Marceau have not on this show?
Hello?
And y'all have it on all this good authority, but it never makes it to the show. We get the same argument. Tisha being insecure where it comes to Marceau. Tisha and Kiki arguing. Tisha and Mel arguing, and so on and so forth. It's nothing new. It's very stale. Like, I want to understand it, but I'm not giving Carlos King nothing, because he has too much to say when it comes to Bravo shows for him to give us this season opener that's a fucking snooze fest.
Like, nigga, dude, again, like, if you need writers, the contact information, what you say, Agent, the contact information is available.
Yes, like, come on.
Yeah.
If you need somebody on the writer's block, we got you, but this ain't it.
It's not it.
Because I don't give a damn about Tisha and her cousin up here looking like two angry beavers. I don't give a damn about that.
I don't even care about this shit with Stormy and Mel, because everybody knows that after filming, Mel totally unplugs from the cast and the crew.
Right.
And again, I guess I'll say this is my problem with this show as well. This is what happens when you're putting people on the show together who really don't have the type of rapport they want us to believe. Stormy and Mel are not close outside of this show, but they presented it like they was when they first brought Stormy to the show.
Yeah. I wish they would stop doing that.
I wish they would stop doing that. If these motherfuckers are associate at best, let's run it as their associates at best, maybe trying to get to know each other and build friendships. But stop bringing people on this show acting like they were such good friends, and that's why you want them on the show, only to find out that's not the case.
And honestly, a part of that is on Mel, because she is executive producer. Like,
yeah, Mel brought Stormy to the show. Mel brought Destiny to the show.
Yeah.
Well. Mel did not bring Stormy to the show. but she did kind of co-sign for her, if that makes sense. From my understanding, people pay Carlos to do like these kind of interviews to see if their lives, I mean, I guess are basically exciting enough to be on reality TV. But Stormy was in contact with Carlos to be on the Bell Collective, but she was too far from Jackson, but she was moving to Huntsville.
So Huntsville was the next best thing.
Yes. And so she had did her interview for the Bell Collective and then wanted to do Love and Marriage Huntsville. And during talks with Melody, she brought up Stormy's name. And that was kind of like a confirmation and kind of, oh, yeah, they did do an application to be on this show. And that didn't work out. But they probably could be good for this one. So she didn't necessarily bring her to the show like, oh, Stormy would be good, this is somebody I know, but she did put them back on Carlos's radar.
Got it.
That's fair. That's fair on that part, but I still blame Mel for allowing them to present it, you know, to Candace's point, like her and Stormy were good friends. That is, I still put on Mel and Carlos with the writing.
Yeah. And I don't, and from what I picked up, I think people know that Mel takes a break from the cast between seasons. But it seems like with Stormy and Destiny, it doesn't seem like Mel communicates that clearly enough to people.
Yeah.
She just kind of goes, oh, I'm changing my number. Oh, I'm not talking to people. But people don't kind of know that from jump. Because I feel like Stormy and Destiny don't strike me as people that are going to necessarily beg for attention and friendship if they know what things are. So if the thing is, hey, I just want you to know, Stormy, we may be out of contact for a while because this is kind of what I do. I disconnect after the season.
Mel is a horrible communicator, and we could be truly, truly honest about it. And I think we've said this before, I really loathe the nice, nasty thing she does. And even when her and Stormy were talking, she was absolutely gaslighting Stormy. Well, did you try to call in? Did you try to text me? Ma'am, what? If you wanted me to have your number, you would do like most motherfuckers do when they get a new number. Send it to the people they want to have and then say, this is my new number, lock me in. Well, did you try to DM me? Why do somebody got to chase you down to communicate with you?
Imagine changing your number and then somebody that's supposed to be at least associated with you at best is like, damn, I ain't heard from you. Then you tell them, well, damn, did you try DMing me, bitch? Like, what?
Yeah, like totally weird. Now, what I will say is we're going to see in this season that Stormy's mama is going to become a huge problem. I already know Stormy's mom is a problem because she's in the Love in Huntsville No Chaser group. And she has not liked Mel since before Stormy was on the show.
Yeah, I believe
she
you.
She just don't like
you,
her.
You talked about that before, yeah.
Yeah. And last but certainly not least.
So do you think Stormy's mom is going to become the new Wanda?
I think she's going to try, but I think she's worse than Wanda in that Wanda didn't have a lot of vitriol for Mel until Mel and Tisha were getting into it. Stormy mama has never liked Mel, ever. Mm. And she's been very vocal about it. Before we go, I'm happy to see Martell miserable. I really am. I feel good about that.
I love this song.
Because not only are you a piece of shit as a person, you're a fucking raging homophobic idiot. And I am so tired of you running this She Got 20 Babysitter storyline when what you really want to say is, I don't want her gay brother watching my kids, and so I'm going to make up anything to try to make her seem unfit. Like, I'm getting tired of that. And the whole trying to walk Mel to her car, knowing you out here still trying to file for full custody of kids that you really cannot afford to take care of, amongst other things, that shit is really crazy to me.
Yeah,
that shit don't make sense.
Are you finna say something?
Like I said, I think it's been time for Mel to lead this show, quite honestly, because you couldn't have me around him because I'm not going to act civilized. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to, when you're doing all this and then you want to smile in my face knowing behind the scenes you're trying to take my babies from me.
Right.
I wouldn't have it in me, and I would have just left the show.
Yep. Because I was having this conversation with my mom. Shout out Mama White Diamonds. But I just think it's a lot of audacity to expect Mel to be kind and cordial to Martell because he has done a lot of things to her outside of this whole outside baby thing. Like we can keep it super 100. Sheree and Mel used to hang out. Martell knows Sheree because Sheree and Mel used to be cool and cordial. You still got your baby mama running around the internet saying any and everything about this woman, though she's one of the problems. Mel ain't step on Coleslaw feet. Coleslaw stepped on Mel feet and continued to do it.
Coleslaw is hilarious.
Yeah, because she just a side dish. She ain't gonna never be the entree. As soon as
I think she
Martell
more
got
like jambalaya.
she not even that, because if we're to be honest, as soon as Martell was fully and legally single, he skipped right over her and continues to fuck her in the dark. She has to run the social media to let people know that Martell still messes with her. In no capacity does he have very much of anything to say about her. He went right on over to Sheree.
My filters must be good because I ain't heard nothing else from that girl.
Yeah. Like, as soon as that man was single, y'all could have had an opportunity to have a family together. That man ran in the total opposite direction of you. But I would like to see her on the show because she got so much to say. Now, I do
No,
believe
I don't.
if we want to get Mel off this show, that's how they're going to do it. They're going to allow Arion to come on to be a friend of the show.
No, I think we too late on that.
Yeah, I
I don't
think.
think so. I don't
No,
think so
nobody
because
cared. Nobody cared about Arianne to really begin with, but the time when she was the hottest was like those first couple of seasons. Now that they divorced, the only way Arianne being on this show brings something fresh and new is if her and Mel some way bury the hatchet and they showing co-parenting, like not co-parenting, but showing how that kind of relationship works with half siblings. Other than that, they can leave her where she at, because there's nothing else I want to know from her. There's no story I want to know from her at all.
I disagree. I disagree. I think there's a lot we still don't know that she still has not spoken on that
What
Martell's
do you want to know?
probably buying her silence. There's a lot of shit that has happened behind those scenes, and Mel has even alluded to it. She says all the time, it's so much that y'all will never know. And I think that so much we will never know, it rests with Arianne, which is why Martell doesn't do much when she jumps out of pocket. Because he doesn't want any more of his business all over the internet. That girl is holding some shit that would make us probably be like, oh my fucking God.
I agree with that, Candace, but I also agree with Adrian that I feel like the time for them to do that has kind of sailed at this point. Because you know when they had a perfect opportunity to do that, but they didn't? I want to say it was that one season when Mel and Martell, like they had the fresh divorce, and Martell and Arianne had that phone conversation when he was going to pick up the kid. Remember when he was in the car talking to her? That was the
They
season they needed to do that.
wasn't divorced yet.
Oh, that
They
wasn't
wasn't
it?
divorced yet.
But
They
that would have
wasn't
been the
divorced
season to
yet.
have her
That's
on.
the season when he was talking to her in the car and she was like, you always been good to me. You always looked out for me to care of
Okay,
me.
you're right.
I
They
know
wasn't it was,
exactly
yeah,
what
you know,
season
yeah.
that is. They wasn't divorced yet. It was heading in that direction.
Okay,
I
my
think
bad.
it would be a good time just because she even been sparring and going back and forth with Sheree.
Don't want to see it. Still don't want to see it. I guess I really just don't like her, of what I know from her, because I don't know that lady from a can of paint. She might be a very, okay, I ain't even gonna do that
No, I'm
bullshit,
not
but
saying she's a very good person, but we can't say we dwell and live in mess and then be like, well, I don't want no mess. I'll take that
it's
mess.
not
I
about
really
not wanting
will.
mess, but she don't have, to me, she don't have the type of mess that
We don't
I'm
know that though, because
interested in.
he keep her under a gag order now. We don't know what she got up her sleeve, because
Keep her gag.
he
Keep
always
her.
kissing her ass to keep her from really talking. Like even when she did that interview with Tasha K, dumbass.
That shit
It
was
wasn't
hilarious.
anything we hadn't heard before. Like it wasn't anything we hadn't heard before, and it was a lot she wasn't willing to talk about. So I'm not against it happening. I don't think it will ever happen as long as Mel continues to be a part of that show in any capacity, both as an executive producer or as a castmate. But if you really want to see Mel gone off this show and move on to greener pastures, that's how you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to introduce somebody who is the bane to her existence. And that is Martell's former mistress and outside child baby mama.
So who do you think would tape with her?
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the other thing.
I think Keisha would tape with her because they all get so pissy that Mel doesn't want to be in their immediate friend circle anymore. However, okay. Mel and Carlos did sit down for an interview, and Mel has alluded to the fact that she and Tisha have since reconciled whatever issues they had, but they've tried that before and it never lasts long. Yeah, so I'm not going to give it too much.
Yeah, I was going to say, right. they don't reconcile for the fifth time and they're going to be right back arguing in like episode 8 of this season.
I for sure believe Marceau and Maurice and Tisha would film with the baby mama. I do believe
I don't
that.
Think Maurice would, because I don't think Kimmy, or if he did it, he would think, have to do it without Kimmy. Kimmy's not, I don't
yeah,
think
yeah, it would be without it. Kimmy. I don't think Kimmy would.
Yeah. I think another
think Stormy would, because Stormy is easy to manipulate, and we even called Stormy a flunky when she was getting into it with Destiny on behalf of Mel. We was all like, you should have stayed out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know, but whatever this is that Carlos King doing right now, I don't like that, and you're gonna have to show me something else, because I cannot believe y'all still putting Kiki on my TV screen.
I think
Kiki in the opening credits, like, forget just on the TV screen, she in the opening credits, and I didn't think she brought enough
anything
last season for that.
Yeah, even her reason for beefing with Tisha wasn't nothing that stood out to me, because I'm not trying to be funny, but you is a crackhead, and if Adrian invite me to a party and she invite my cousin, who she don't know is necessarily a crackhead, but me and the family know, and we know that she has stolen and gone through and tried to raid people's medicine cabinet and shit like that, I'm gonna be honest, I'm gonna tell Adrian.
You better tell, like, me, because if you don't and they steal from you, I'm gonna be upset.
Like, I'm gonna come now. I might not joke about it how like Marceau did, but he's a dickhead. But I'm definitely gonna be like, hey, you know, I remember you saying you invited my cousin ABC. ABC got some sticky fingers due to a prescription drug habit, and you know, be careful with them in your home.
Can't come in with them shoes on.
Make sure they have a clear purse, like they're going in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I said it before, I'm a broken record at this point. I'll say it again. Like, for me, if you present a problem and you have a resolution to that problem, whereas there's an acknowledgement of wrong and an apology of wrong, which that happened between Tisha and Kiki and with Tisha.
Why are we still talking about it?
Thank you, friend. That's my problem. That's my problem right there. Why are we still talking about it?
Why is it still on our radar? I agree. Adrian, I agree it came back too fast, especially because, you know, Love and Marriage DC just abruptly stopped coming on.
Yeah, like, is they on break or something? Or somebody?
Well, they said that was like their mid-season finale.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was supposed to be, like their mid-season finale.
Well, that's fair. But, like, can y'all niggas come back? Like, did somebody get shot and y'all need some extra time? Like, what's happening here? You know?
So, right.
Like, especially if we get this shit here with fucking Kiki being in the headline and shit. Like,
right.
We can hold off a little bit if that's what it's come to.
I could have waited it. I could have waited until summertime.
How the mighty have fallen.
But yeah. I feel like this is Carlos King cash cow. And again, the plot is starting to be lost with this show, because what made it shoot to the top of people's food chain in terms of reality TV was that the stuff that we saw with Mel and Martell in those first two seasons was extremely authentic and happening in real time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made it interesting. That's what made it a standout.
And then the fact that people have these relationships already, like, granted, her and Tisha's relationship went to hell on the show, but they were friends beforehand. They were more than just passing acquaintances. And I think that's what these shows lose, because usually the first season is a cohesive group of people that knew each other. They had a relationship prior to the show. And then as you go on, when you're trying to add new people, you do the thing that they did with Stormy, where you make it seem like Stormy and Mel were friends more than they really were, or like Portia with Fallon when they really weren't. And so then they get into these situations that people kind of glom onto and feel a way about, because we think, oh, this was her friend before the show, so there's no way that this should be happening like this, but they really weren't friends.
Correct. And we are hitting the nail on the head here.
And I think with this show in particular, like, one reason that it caught such lightning in a bottle is because it Mel and Martell's issues were happening in real time and we all saw it. But also, again, to Adrian's point, like, before, like, this happened, before Martell did what he did, these niggas was friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of Martell's actions and because of people's either action or inaction, things are strained. And so they're trying to keep the same, they're trying to keep the show going, and I want it to continue, but I feel like the writing and how they've gone about it, especially post, you know, Mel and Martell separation, it's like they really are not tapping into some of the potential that they have, because, you know, don't get me wrong, as much as I love mess and drama, and I do, you know, Martell and Mel's mess and drama was interesting, but I've said it before on here, it do get annoying and exhausting seeing them two niggas fuss all the goddamn time. It do.
It get annoying and it gets aggravating. It's doubly aggravating and annoying when you know there's things happening behind the scenes that they're intentionally trying to cover up with fabricated mess. Like, don't play in my face like that. And you absolutely could be talking about these lawsuits without going into the specific details. Like, you ain't gotta give us every little detail, but they won't even acknowledge that it's happening.
Yeah, I think the only people that were willing to be as transparent as we need to hold our interest are Mel and Martell, but now we've reached the point where I don't think even they can be as transparent as they could before, because I think they're starting to realize, like, that could affect their children. They are still doing this ongoing custody thing.
Right.
And nobody else wants to be transparent like they were.
Yeah. And then especially, and you couple that with both of their personalities, which, you know, we can keep it a buck, both of them are very special in their own way. Let's just say that.
Especially so, stupid.
Well, I was trying to be kind, but yes. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, with them two doing what they're doing, then nobody else, you know, really opening up. I'm not saying, like, don't get me wrong, I still like Love and Marriage Huntsville. I really do. But it is getting to that point where it's like, whoever in the writing room, y'all niggas need to, like, really sit down and think about this shit, because you edging on that territory of, like, this is kind of getting hacked.
Which is why we needed more time.
Yeah.
We needed more time. Yep. We circle back to your original point, Adrian, and I certainly agree. I was very shocked to see it coming back so soon. And now, having watched episodes 1 and 2 of this new season, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. I don't need another sit down between Tisha and Kiki. I don't need nobody else constantly meddling in Mel and Martell's co-parenting situation. You know what I'm saying? And playing both sides of the fence. Like, Chris Fletcher and his wife are kiki-kiing while Martell sitting up there saying, and when God said go, then next thing you turn around, you and her face talking about, is there anything y'all could do to sit down together and pick out babysitters? Like, just mind your fucking business, bitch. Y'all are not impartial. Y'all want TV time, and let's call a thing a thing. Because who the fuck is inviting Martell? That's what I'm saying. Who the fuck is inviting them? Why would they even be inviting Martell to their fucking date night other than they wanted some TV time and a check? Like, fuck y'all. No, you could have waited, Carlos King, until you move some other pieces into play to really get shit going good. But this is starting out really snoozy, boring. That's all I have for love in Mansfield. What about y'all?
That was about it for me.
I ain't got nothing.
All right. Well, we thank y'all for tuning in. We are glad to be back. Hope y'all had a good Easter. Spring has sprung. Niggas are nigging and everything in between. I wish the worst on people who still don't respect people's personal space in public. Yes, Jules is still, she still moan like Bob Vila. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. She's, that bitch still thinks she black, and I don't give a fuck how many apologies Daniel Caesar issue. It's fuck both of them, and I'll never forget that that bitch went on Joe Budden podcast and tried to talk shit about me because I said she was posting pictures in bathing suits with her bare pussy in them, and I meant that. I meant that. And when you niggas go up for white women, you always fall hard, because no sooner than that happened, that bitch came out talking about Joe Budden wear clothes and then return them for money, return them to get the money back after they wear the clothes and they be stanking. She said they be stanking. So
I never knew that, because I don't play with.
Yes, that's why Yes Jules and Joe Budden fell out, was because Yes Jules, she missed up like the bitch always do, running her fucking dick slobbers. And Joe Budden like was like, yo, you need to watch your mouth. And she was like, I don't need to watch nothing, especially from coming from you, when you wear clothes and return them and they be smelly.
That was,
oh, they fell out.
Well, worth the luck to you. That's what you get.
Yeah. Thumbs down to both you stupid motherfuckers. We will be back next week. Do Bell Collective start next week?
No, it's back in May.
That's what I want to see. That's what I'm ready for. Because word on the curb is Cliff and Latrice is sleeping in separate bedrooms, like they Lucy and Desi Arnaz and shit. So, you know, this should be a good season. And Letitia and Marie is still some bozos over. They still married the niggas who don't want them, don't want to do right by them. So I'm looking forward to the Bell Collective coming back. And we will be back next week. We'll be down to 3 shows, so we'll be able to get in and out. We appreciate y'all. Make sure you're subscribed to the Patreon, patreon.com/flawlessnoises. We're about to record an episode of Ratchet Reloaded. You won't be disappointed. Treat yourself, don't cheat yourself, and we out.
Bye, y'all.